TalkZone.com.
Now, TalkZone presents the Youth Sports Fan Forum with your host, the coach, John Cone. This is the show that covers all topics relating to the wonderful world of sports our kids play. Here's your host for the Youth Sports Fan Forum, the coach, John Cone.
And we do welcome you to the Youth Sports Fan Forum. I believe we're at show number 4, a brand new entity we are giving a shot at here on thetalkzone.com internet radio, if you will. We thank you for joining us. And every Thursday, 11 o'clock Central Time. So out in the east of Jordan, people may be enjoying their lunch with the Youth Sports Fan Forum. Out on the west, people might be waking up having breakfast with you. Whatever it is, we're great to have, or we're glad to have Jordan Burnfield joining us here at the Youth Sports Fan Forum.
I am enjoying my first voyage into the Youth Sports Fan Forum. And after that music bed that let us off, I feel like I should be doing aerobics on the treadmill or something.
That music bed, I feel like going back to sleep.
Yeah.
I feel like I was in a dentist chair having a tooth pulled sans Novocaine.
Well, the youths are in class right now, right? So maybe that's what we were supposed to be.
Don't kid yourself. We've sent emails to many teachers. We are hoping with this show being both educational / entertaining.
Or at least somewhat a mix of both.
If we can get one out of the two, we'll probably be pressing our luck that many school districts, when this show becomes popular now, from Thursday 11 to noon, they'll cancel the math class, a science class.
Just so that the kids can sit around the radio.
Absolutely. And listen in and maybe even have some input. Maybe some kids will be calling. Maybe it's a study hall. I fully expect us to be in schools within the, maybe by mid-March.
I would say that, it's sort of one of those things that would be like a 40s get-together where people used to get together just to sit around the radio and listen to a soap opera.
Uh-huh.
Instead, we're just going to have students sitting around a computer listening to us talk about youth sports in their classes. And I can tell you this.
Or their teachers could talk about, back in their fourth grade days when they scored 2 points in a Park District basketball game.
I can tell you that story on this show, but I will tell you this, that I think that there are certain teachers that I had that would absolutely have taken their lesson plan, thrown it directly into the garbage, and then lit the can on fire so that they had no excuse but to do something like this and listen to the show as opposed to actually teach their lesson.
Back when you were in school and you're still a young man of 20-something, there was no internet radio out there.
Not when I was in elementary school.
I'm so old, back when I was in school, there barely was even radio out there, let alone internet.
What they did was they just had like cone-shaped funnels, and that the radio people would just yell as far as they could.
Hello, welcome to WGN.
What did you say?
Hello. Hopefully you are enjoying this soap opera, which has been brought to you by 50s ice boxes that aren't electric yet.
What we are trying to accomplish here is talk all things youth sports, specifically geared, and we're really going to stay a little bit. I would assume over the time we'll get into high school sports a little bit, but really, there's a lot of high school sports stuff out there now. Via the internet, newspapers do a great job covering.
You're all
over
it.
I'm glad for it. I'm a big high school fan, but this show, Thursdays, 11 to 12 Central Time, TalkZone.com. Spread the word to other people so we can get the show to continue on, but we're going to deal specifically with the kindergarten to eighth grade age, the travel teams, the house league teams, the club teams, AAU teams, the officiating, the parents, the coaches, the administration, the finances, anything involved, the funny stories, the sad stories, the dramatic, the great comeback, the disgusting, the obnoxious.
I could give you a story for all of these things.
Yeah, exactly. The things that upset you. That's all the stuff we want to deal with here on the Youth Sports Fan Forum. Our phone lines are open in. We'll take some advice, too. We'll try to answer some questions you might have out there. And if we can't answer, we will for sure find somebody who can. That's what we're trying to accomplish here on the Youth Sports Fan Forum. We can't do it without your help. Phone calls can come in at 888-463-6748. Again, 888-463-6748. My name, the coach, John Cole. My partner today, Jordan Burnfield, JB. Our email, if you want to send emails in, it's ysfanforum.com. Some people might be afraid to call in, Jordan. They can send in their questions / comments in our email. And again, it's ysfanforum.com. That's what we're trying to accomplish with this fine enterprise.
I'm excited, and I was
trying to control your excitement.
Youth sports were a big part of my life. I mean, when I was little, that's all that mattered to me. I mean, school, you know, whatever, everything, you know, everybody goes to school and you meet your friends or whatever, but I've made so many friends through playing sports when I was younger, whether it was the Park District Basketball League or playing baseball through travel and then into high school and all the way through high school. And, mm-hmm. you know, that it's a big part of the lives of these kids. It's not like it used to be where, you know, you'd have a few games and it was all fun and games. Now these kids are traveling all over the place. It is a huge commitment and an expensive commitment
not
in
just,
some cases.
By the way, a big part of the kids' lives, right
the parents,
and or wrong.
Right.
That's one of the issues we can get into. It's become a big part of the family's life,
right.
The parents,
there's
brothers,
no question.
Sisters, et cetera.
When I was playing baseball from age, I don't know, 5 through 18,
mm-hmm.
my sister dragged to all, many of these games. I mean, that, you know, when we were young enough where my sister couldn't stay at home or, you know, mm-hmm. do something on her own when she wasn't old enough yet, she was dragging to all the games with my parents
now,
to come watch
to
me
do,
play.
When she started to do her dance concerts, did you... As a good older brother would do, did you make civil and go to watch her dance concerts also?
Well,
I understand that's a sexist comment out there.
Well, she actually did do dance, but I don't know if she ever had a recital. I don't think she ever did because I don't ever remember going to one.
Yeah.
But honestly, it was a family event. My dad got into coaching, mm-hmm. you know, and he managed a couple of our travel teams and, you know, was one of the coaches on the teams. And so it was a huge part mm-hmm. of my whole family's life, not just mine, and it is for many of these kids.
I'd like to throw out there today different topics each and every day, a daily quandary if we could. We'd like to hear from our listeners again via email or phone call, 888-463-6748. Let's do a little ode to the coaches out there, the volunteer, for most of them anyways. The volunteer coaches, look back in your childhood if you're a parent listening, or maybe it's a current situation where somebody's coaching your kids or coached you recently, an influential coach, someone who was really a positive force that helped you not only in the sporting venture, but got close to you as a person too. It helped to motivate you in whatever areas you got into. So, you know, maybe the unsung coaches out there, let's throw some kudos to them, a Mr. Smith, a Mrs. Jackson, whoever it might be, good chance to do it here on the Youth Sports Fan Forum. And maybe on the opposite end, there's a coach that coached your kids or coached you back in the day that was particularly of the wrong extreme, the absolute negative, and we'd like to hear funny.
The nut job.
And or sad. The coach that was a complete wacko.
Yeah, I can give you a good one. And when I was growing up, I used to take pitching lessons and hitting, well, some hitting too, but I did take a lot of pitching lessons mm-hmm. at the, before the North Shore Baseball Academy, there was that place on 41, I forget the sports something, I forget what the place is called. You know that big building with the two big yeah. buildings? With
By the way, we're doing this show out of the Chicago area, we gotta make sure is.
That's right.
Via the internet, our show is being broadcast into 7 different continents and also parts of Baltimore and St. Louis.
That is correct. And,
many people consider the 8th continent.
Yeah. But the coach that I had there,
the 41 Sports Club, I believe.
Yeah, 41 Sports Club. There you go. And, he is a guy who's still someone I consider to be a close friend even to this day.
Mm-hmm.
He pitched in the Red Sox organization, for a number of years and was in AAA and actually had a couple cups of coffee in the major leagues mm-hmm. and got to pitch at Comiskey Park.
Ross Baumgartner?
No. This was, Ken Grunt, who pitched in, I want to say it was like 97, 98, something like that,
okay.
for the Red Sox in the major leagues, and grew up a big White Sox fan and got to actually realize his dream and pitch at Comiskey Park against the White Sox. But he, in the off season, would teach pitching lessons, and I started going to him when I was, I think, 9 or 10 years old, and I went for 3, 4, 5 years mm-hmm. with him, and he helped me work on my pitching, and he was such a great and influential coach for me that, you know, I think that some of the things he taught me, not only about how to pitch physically, but the mental approach mm-hmm. to pitching has really helped me in terms of, as a person, being able to mentally approach certain things with a certain viewpoint based on what he taught. And I think that, you know, I don't know if I would be the person that I am or have the personality that I have or if I would look at things the way I do had it not been for his coaching when I was little. And I think that there's a lot of people that have had a coach like that throughout their youth years where it was, you know, somebody who was really just a really great influence on you as a coach. And my dad, too. I mean, my dad was a coach and helped us realize that, you know, it was okay if you struck out. It was okay if you didn't field that ground ball. It was okay if you made a mistake because, you know, we kids take it so hard sometimes when you fail, especially in baseball, I think, because you're not going to get a hit every time up. And a lot of times you're not going to get a hit 10 straight times, and that's very hard for an 8- or 9-year-old to deal with. But
inherent in the sport of baseball, too, is you've got – it's a sport where one individual stands on the mound and throws an extremely hard object at another individual standing all by himself at the plate.
Right.
You don't get that kind of solidarity, if that's not the word, singledom.
Individuality.
Loneliness,
maybe.
Individuality. You don't get it in football. You don't get it in basketball.
Right.
Soccer, many of the other team sports. And inherent in that, too, is kids develop at different years.
Right.
So one of the problems I have with youth baseball, when I say a problem with it, I've coached it for many, many years, and I love coaching it, but it's still a problem, is that you've got a physically mature 10-year-old, 11-year-old, 12-year-old, firing a very hard object at a less physically developed, similar age, 9, 10, 11, and 12-year-old. Inherent in that, I think, is a problem in the sport.
Yeah, it is. I mean, it's certainly, there was a kid that I played with.
You were probably the guy that had, like, hair on your chest at age 10.
No, definitely not. I was the opposite. I was more of the late grower. So when I was 9 years old, in the first travel team I played for, in Deerfield, we had a kid on our team who, and I'll never forget it because he was the best player on our team for the first 3 or 4 years because he was developed. I mean, he was a man amongst boys, and he was just a gifted hitter and a gifted outfielder and a gifted, not really a great pitcher, but could throw harder than anybody. So we could put him in spots, you know, to get some outs because even though he never knew where the ball was going, he could throw it so hard that nobody even wanted to stand in there against him, and he'd strike people out because they'd be afraid to get killed. So it was, you know, he was always the best player on the team the first 2 or 3 years, and then that morphed. You know, that completely turned. Once everybody else started to catch up with him, he became sort of an average player while everybody else went way above him. And so it's interesting how those things happen. But for me, and I mean this wholeheartedly, the travel teams I played on from ages 9 to, you know, and many of the same guys were on my team in high school, so from 9 to 18, really, I mean, those are some of the best years of my life. I mean, I'll never get those back, and I wish I could, but those summers spent with those people and the seasons that we had together and the friendships that we made from that, it sounds sappy, but those were some of the best times in my life, getting to be with those guys every year, getting to play baseball with them, and just the community aspect of it was great.
The very essence of what the Youth Sports Fan Forum is all about, bringing up memories like that, some of the issues involved in our daily quandary today. We're putting an ode out to some of the coaches out there, coaches that were influential to you, both positive, or if you want to go the negative route, you can do that too. First on our list, then, is, if I got his name correctly, is Mr. Grunt.
Yeah, Ken Grunt.
Coach Grunt.
Yeah, I wouldn't even call him coach anymore. Yeah, well, yeah, but he, I still talk to him decently regularly through the internet. His family lives out in Scranton now, and so, you know, he's a Chicago area guy, and I still talk to him as much as I can, you know, and he's just, he was a great coach for me, and he deserves a lot of props.
We got Coach Grunt on the top of the list. If you'd like to add your coach, influential coach for you or for your kids, give us a call, 888-463-6748. Not just teaching the technicalities of the sport, but also motivating you, maybe and inspiring you and helping you in other phases of your life. Certainly one of the great advents that youth sports in general, at any age, can do. 888-463-6748, the phone number. Our producer, we should mention, a legend from what we heard, a legend back in his boyhood days in Lockport, Illinois, David Fast Pitch Olson. Our fine producer today, David, great to have you on the other side of the glass. He's shaking his head like not quite a legend.
Yeah.
Well, I'm trying to build you up a little bit.
Hey, I had one great basketball game as a youth sports participant. Yes. I was not a very good basketball. You know what I was? I was, and don't take this the wrong way, I was a Jewish basketball player. Could shoot, did not play defense. And that is the mark of a good Jewish basketball player, right?
I'll tell you what, I coach in the Maccabiah game, which is like the youth Jewish Olympic games. There are some extremely
good defenders.
Good Jewish basketball players.
No, there
don't
kid
yourself.
There are. But the average Jew, which is me, shoots and doesn't play defense. And we're basically like the Phoenix Suns, okay? We're all like future Phoenix Suns.
Okay.
So I was on a team where, you know,
Name of your team, by the way, the average Jews?
We might as well have been. No, I honestly don't remember what team we were. I know we had gray shirts. Mm-hmm. But we, you know, I loved basketball when I was a little kid, and I still love basketball, but baseball was always my number one, and basketball was my number two. And I was on this team where I was really the third wheel. I mean, we had two guys who were clearly the best players on the team, better than me. And I was, you know, I was okay, but I was nothing special in terms of a player, and I'd score a basket or two here or there, but, you know, no one was relying on me for anything. Our top two guys had some event that they had to be at, and they couldn't come to our game. And I was facing one of my best friends who was on the other team, and their team was the best team in the league. Mm-hmm. And he was maybe the best player in the league at the time. And so we, you know, I mean, obviously there's no handicapping on 9-year-old basketball, but it would have been clearly they were the favorite. We were supposed to lose. I got hot for this game like I never did again because I wasn't that good a basketball player. I scored 20 points. I probably averaged 4 points a game, mm-hmm. maybe, in these games. I scored 20 points and we beat this team. And that was the pinnacle of my basketball career.
One of the keys there, we could, you know, take that story and expound further, but one of the keys too is, here you are, a sideline player, a complimentary player.
Right.
The two stars are out, and now you get a chance to shine. I would imagine there's a lot of kids in that situation, and maybe one coaches and parents need to keep an eye out for that just need that opportunity, and maybe consciously and or subconsciously, as we get ready to take our first break here on the Youth Sports Fan Forum, that, you know, just need a little confidence and a little opportunity, and maybe you sit the stars down for a little bit and let some of the other kids get an opportunity to play.
Yeah, I mean, that's what's great about this stuff, too, is that everybody gets to play. I mean, we had a kid on our house league baseball team when we were eight who was probably the worst baseball player in the world, but he was so short that we let him off every game, and he walked every single time up. So his on-base percentage was probably .990. Uh-huh. And so he'd get on, and then we'd bring up the thumpers, and they'd all drive him in. And he was the best leadoff man you could ever have because I don't think he ever swung. I really don't think
that's
ever swung the bat.
That's a quandary, I'd like to throw that out there. I've had it myself as a manager, many parents, maybe people that have coached before. It's the very essence of the youth sports philosophy.
It is. I mean, listen.
Hold on, just to centralize it here.
Yeah.
You want to win as a coach. I don't care if you're coaching 8-year-olds or 13 or 17, but let's gear it to the 7, 8, 9, 10, 11.
Okay.
And you know the best way to win, quite frankly, is to tell this kid not to swing because he's not going to get a hit. He's going to strike out. You're hoping for a walk.
He was fine, though, with not swinging.
That's if you want to win, but that's not for the best. Do you as a coach, and I think inherent in my question, I'm going to say the answer is yes. Do you as a coach go up there and tell that kid, hey, get up there, you know, swing the bat, look to hit, have some fun up there, you know, get some confidence. Don't be afraid to swing the bat. It's going to hurt your team's chances to win. Maybe it's even a critical situation. So it's going to hurt your team's chances to win, but it's going to help the kid, the very essence of the youth sports quandary. You got thoughts on that? Maybe you've been in that situation as a coach. 888-463-6748. Brand new venture here on the TalkZone.com. The Youth Sports Fan Forum. Emails accepted at ysfanforum.com. We also have a website you can check out, www.ysfanforum.com.
Is anybody going to be bringing us snacks? I mean, every youth sport event that I ever went to, we always got a nice snack at the end. Like, am I going to get a cupcake at the end
Good
of the
point.
Show?
Don't undervalue the importance of that snack at the end of the game. My older son, never into sports at all. The only reason he kept playing through maybe third, fourth, fifth grade.
Snacks?
Seriously, was the snack at the end of the game.
I got news for you. When we come back from the break.
Snacks are huge.
When we come back from the break, I will give you a good story about the snack time.
And also, what's the best snack? What are some good snacks to give?
Ho-hos, cupcakes.
Oh, come on.
That's what we always got.
All right, we're taking a quick break.
You're probably giving people apples, right?
That's disgusting. TalkZone.com. Let's get healthy here for a minute.
phone lines are open on the Youth Sports Fan Forum. 888-GO-FOR-IT. Once again, here's your host, the coach, John Cone, on TalkZone.com.
And thanks for joining us on our brand new venture here, the Youth Sports Fan Forum. We were talking right before the break of maybe the most critical thing in all of youth sports, especially with the age 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11. Starts to die off a little bit in the 5th and 6th grade age bracket, but Jordan, there's nothing more critical than the post-game snack.
Post-game snack is huge. It's a very... Listen, I was such a competitive player that I couldn't give a you-know-what about what the snack was. I usually didn't even eat it. I mean, it didn't matter. But for that last kid on the bench, or for those kids that knew that they had no chance of getting significant PT, they were living for that snack. And the story that I wanted to tell you that I teased before the break was we had a kid on our team, a little bit of a portly young lad.
What sport?
Baseball.
Okay.
House League Baseball in Deerfield.
This was not Jared from Subway, by any chance.
It was not, but he might as well have been.
Okay.
This was a portly young lad, okay, at the age of 9 or 10. And, you know, every game they had like a list of who was going to bring the snacks, and it was different parents each time. And so it was some schedule where different parents would provide whatever it was. And the game ends. We have a, you know, a really hard-fought game. I remember that ended in the final inning, and I don't even remember whether we won or we lost, but it was, you know, one of those games that went down to the wire. And we all head back to the bench, and that kid, this one kid, the portly gentleman, is missing. And we don't know where he went. It turns out that there was a large tree behind the backstop at One Mitchell Field in Deerfield, where our young portly gentleman took the entire box of snacks and ate them all himself. And there were no snacks left for the rest of us who were not portly and wanted a little cupcake after our victory over whoever it was.
Hint to all the coaches out there, always talk to the kids after the game before you've given out the snack.
Yeah.
Once they are into the snacks, you are on the pay-no-mind list.
Right.
So you want to give them a quick talk. And you explain to them, hey, if you're not quiet, we're not getting the snacks. That's great motivation. But always talk first. Keep that talk very quick, by the way. At the end of a game, no long discussions. Give them a couple of positives, maybe a teaching point here or there. Talk about the next practice. But talk first. Snack second. It does not work the other way around.
And this kid came back. First of all, everyone's like, where are the snacks? Where are the snacks? Where's Eli? Nobody can find him or the snacks. 5 minutes
sounds
later,
like Winnie the Pooh. Like,
yeah,
look at his head into the honey thing.
Yeah,
right next to the tree.
Well, he slinks back as if no one would notice from his snack demolition, and we find him as if he, you know, clearly he's only 9, 10 years old, not thinking smartly enough. His shirt is stained with white frosting from whatever cupcake he just destroyed, and we're like, Eli, why did you eat all the snacks? I didn't eat all the snacks. What are you talking about? Eli, your shirt is covered in frosting. I don't think you got that by sliding into second base. I didn't steal the snacks. I don't know what you're talking about. Well, you did, because it's all over you. The evidence is there. Then he cried and ran away. But you know what? I mean, the snack to me, the best snacks in youth sports were when they gave you those Twizzlers, like those fat pull-and-peel Twizzlers.
Disgusting.
The pull and peel ones were the best. The cherry ones were, came with like eight strings of them, and they were fun because you could either eat them all together or you could pull each one apart. No, so your snack would
be number two.
The unfun, health food conscious. You're giving the kids like a fruit salad after the game, right?
Not quite that.
Or like an orange or an apple with like a little smiley face on it. Is that what you're giving the kids?
Not quite that bad.
They just ran around.
Bar, some fruit, maybe some trail mix, some raisins, some cheese crackers. No.
Cheese crackers. Those are good.
Kids today have way, way too many sweets. Again, you want to chime in on this all-important topic in youth sports, the snack, post-game.
It is important.
463, absolutely, 6748, ysfanforum.com. Kids today, for the most part, there's too many portly Eli's out there. If you watch a current baseball team or a basketball team, there's not one Eli out there. There's about six Eli's.
No, you're right.
The
Listen.
Portly guy. They got too much weight, too much sugar. Please, find a somewhat. I didn't say, fruit salad, but a somewhat healthy snack, the granola bar, an outstanding option.
But here's the thing, though. They're out and running around for 2 hours in whatever their event is. So shouldn't they deserve a reward?
What sport are they running around?
Soccer, I mean, youth soccer to me is hilarious. Yes. If you took a helicopter and you were 100 feet above the game and you wanted to know where the ball was, you just see this little clump of people running around right wherever the ball is. Yeah. They don't, there's no positions in youth soccer. There's no strategy. It's just who can knock over enough people to put the ball in the net.
I used to get such a kick out of coaches that would, I'd referee some of the games, and some of these very well-meaning, well-dedicated coaches of like the 6, 7, and 8-year-olds.
You sure about that? Because the soccer moms and the vans, they're crazy. No. Those people are crazy.
Well, but the coach usually is pretty cool.
Okay.
But they'll spend like 5 or 10 minutes before the start of the game and after each goal getting their players lined up, right? They
no
got the lineup sheet. You know, Peter's over here. They got Tommy over here. It takes 5 minutes to set the players up. The referee blows the whistle. The ball's kicked. And within 2 seconds.
Everybody's at the ball.
They're 5 minutes of hard work. That, like you said, they all go for the ball.
Yeah.
Goalies included.
Yeah. Everybody goes for the ball. It's hilarious. It's like a little ant farm that's just like constantly running around if
but
you were watching from above.
They do learn. You watch them play at age 8. And I think it's one of the cool things. I've coached soccer over the years. It's one of the fun things to watch. You watch what you just described. And all of a sudden in second grade, third grade, you see, and we're not talking travel teams here. We're talking your normal community house league.
Right.
And you start to see, you know, a little bit of skill, a little bit of spreading out. All of a sudden in third, fourth, and fifth grade. Each year, a little bit more skill, a little bit more mental, you know, discipline. Fifth grade, sixth grade, they move up. And all of a sudden in junior high, even the kids that aren't travel team players, even the house league players, it starts to resemble actual soccer. So if you stick with it and teach them a little bit, the games do get better, and it's very rewarding to see as a coach.
What I would like to know is how good Freddie Adu was when he was like 8 in one of these youth soccer leagues. Because, you know, he was playing professionally when he was 14.
Yes.
Imagine how ridiculously good he was. There's just like this clump of kids running to the ball, no strategy, goalie out of the net, you know, everybody going for the soccer ball, and Freddie Adu, this little 8-year-old, twirling and making bicycle kicks into the net. Mm-hmm. That just must have been amazing to watch him at that age, because I'm sure that he was just ridiculous. And in fact, one of the cool things I had read, I think it was last year I read this, that some of the Blackhawk players were on the same youth hockey team when they were 10, 11 years old together.
That had to be a select travel team, probably.
I think it was,
All-star team.
it was a youth league team. It was, I think it was Brent Seabrook, Andrew Ladd, Troy Brower, a bunch of the Western Alberta kids happened to all be on the same youth hockey team together, and now they're all playing for the Blackhawks. I mean, can you imagine that? You know, you want to talk about a great youth sports story. You've got 4 little kids in Western Alberta, Canada, playing hockey for some youth team, and then fast forward 12 years, and they're all playing professionally for arguably the best hockey team in the National Hockey League in the Chicago Blackhawks. That's
an amazing story. Not just that they all ended out playing professionally, which is amazing enough.
Yeah.
But they're all on the same team. Out playing for the same team.
Yeah.
I mean, that is truly amazing. 888-463-6748. The coach, John Cohen, that's me, JB Jordan Burnfield, your host here on the Youth Sports Fan Forum. Feel free to join us. Questions, comments, you want to add to our daily quandary today, ode to great coaches out there that have inspired either you and or your kids, or if it's a particularly negative coach, you want to call them out, maybe not by name. Maybe some funny stories out there. We'd like to hear that, too. So far, we've got Coach Grunt as an influential person first on the list for you, Jordan Burnfield.
That's right.
888-463-6748. Again, our email at ysfanforum.com. Just one other quick note on the snack.
Yeah.
At the end of the game, I would always be amazed by some teams that I would coach. Soccer more than baseball because soccer's a more active game. And some of the teams that were more losing teams, and you just couldn't get, they were just, the kids were not naturally aggressive. You couldn't get them to run after the ball.
Right.
And, you know, just very passive team in general. And then what always amazed me at the end of the game,
they run into the snack.
Mrs. Smith would call over the snacks, and we'd have like 15 kids sprint with unbelievable speed, focus, and soul-mindedness for the snacks.
You know what you need to do?
If you could get them to do that with the soccer ball, it would be amazing.
Well, this is what you have to do. You have to start lining snacks around the perimeter of the soccer field.
I told the kids at one time, imagine the soccer field like a soccer ball, like a Hershey bar.
Yeah. All of a sudden, you got the best team in the league.
It's unbelievable.
It's
couldn't get them to go after the ball. Dead, sprint, pushing, running over people, elbowing people, finally getting aggressive, boxing out. all that going for the snack at the end of the game.
Now, have you ever brought in any ringers, like in Kicking and Screaming? You ever see that movie with Will Ferrell and Mike Ditka and Robert Duvall?
An absolute classic.
Yeah, when they bring in the Italian kids and they're like ridiculous players, and all of a sudden the little Tigers go from the worst team in the league to the best team in the league. Have you ever brought in any ringers as a youth sports coach?
For the most part, no.
For the most part means that you probably did.
Well, I'm trying to remember back in the girl. I coached a competitive girls travel softball many years ago for a lot of years.
You brought in a pitcher, didn't you?
Tournament weekends and stuff. We might have done that a little bit.
Yeah.
Yeah, but that is an interesting topic to bring up is...
The ringers.
Yeah.
I'm not all for it, of course, when I'm against the ringers, but I'm all for bringing in the ringer. And this isn't a youth sport thing, but when I was in college, my radio station that I worked at, we had a long-standing basketball game that we played against the student newspaper called the Media Cup at Syracuse. Mm-hmm. And what it was a game in which the winner of the game would get an article or a sportscast done about the team that won in the opposing media. So when we won as the radio station, the newspaper was required to write a big article about our victory. Mm-hmm. And if we lost,
I'm not going to like this story. I can tell where you're going.
Well, we had to do a sportscast talking about their victory.
Yes.
We had won 8 consecutive years going into my senior year. And when you're a senior, you really get to play. When I was a junior, I got into the game for 3 minutes, and
so
that was it.
The radio guys had defeated the print guys 8 consecutive years. But now the story could get ugly.
Well, the ninth year, this is my senior year, okay? I mean, you see how I look. I'm not exactly the most athletic person anymore, okay? Not that I ever was.
Good-looking guy in your own right, though. Don't kid yourself.
I appreciate that. But
any single moms out there, ysfanforum.com.
Yeah, but we... knew we stunk, okay? We were a bad team, okay? A bunch of geeky radio nerds trying to pretend that we're basketball players. And the Daily Orange, the newspaper, had a few actual, ex-high school basketball players that were playing for them.
But you had won 8 years in a row.
We had won 8 years in a row. But, of course, it's different kids for the most part every year. So this ninth year, we can't be the team that loses. We can't end the losing streak. We're a disgrace. We disgrace the tradition of our station should we lose this game. So we had a second staff on the radio side that was the talk show staff. I was on the sports staff. We did the play-by-play and the sportscasts, and we had the talk show staff. Now, the talk show staff had never been allowed, for some stupid reason, to participate in the game. And I handicapped this little game we had going, and I was afraid we were going to lose. So I went to our sports director. I was assistant sports director at the time, and I said, we need to add a couple of guys from the talk show staff. We should make it a new tradition that they get to play in this game. Because I got news for you. If they don't get to play in our game, we're going to lose. We are going to lose. So we brought in 2 ringers, 2 very highly skilled talk show staff members to add to our team because we were all technically under the same radio station. We won the game by 2 points in overtime on a last second shot, okay, to win this game. But we now were 9 straight, and we were not the team that blew it for everybody.
Well, and I don't think that's such a bad story because at least...
they were still part of the radio station, but they were ringers.
I was ready to jump on you if you won the game and you find a couple of kids on campus, ex-high school players who play for you in the game, and then you win the game. To me,
right,
that's a hollow victory. That's a cheap victory.
We didn't get Johnny Flynn and Dante Green to play with us. That would have been a little bit unfair.
Yeah, no, as long as they're on staff, I think you're within the bounds of...
The Daily Orange didn't like it, though. I'll tell you that. They did not like it. They were upset. And they mentioned in their article... since they had to write the article, that a couple of suspect personnel decisions had led to our victory.
Print journalists can be a very touchy bunch.
They can be.
Don't worry about them. 888-463-6748. We're ringers, I think, you use that word ringers, pickup players or whatever. You can kid about it a little bit and say it's good for the team that does it. At the youth sport level where it can become problematic, and again, any coaches listening, parents out there.
Danny Almonte coming in.
You got something like that. 888-463-6748, ysfanforum at AOL.com. You might win the game, but basically inherent in bringing a couple guys in, you are now taking kids on your team that have played all season long.
Telling them that they're not that good.
And telling them that they can't play for this particular tournament or this particular game. That, and I know there's all types of different situations, but that could be a little problematic.
Yeah. I mean, one of the things that we, I remember my youth team, my youth travel team dealt with was when we were younger in the summer league, some of our best players would go away to overnight camp. Or that at the beginning they didn't, and then they had some religious experience where they decided they wanted to go to overnight camp. Which hurt our team. Now we ended up.
Our team was smart, by the way. We, our parents pitched in, and we actually paid money to get the other, the top team in our league, to send their kids to camp.
Oh, that's a good way to do it.
So we stayed home and found a way to win.
Yeah, well,
it was like a scholarship program.
Exactly, but see, some of our kids ended up going to overnight camp, and then they'd come back intermittently during like a break during the season, and they'd play for us, and then we'd just roll a team, and then we'd go back. I mean, we were good anyways. We would win most of the games. But when we brought these up, the other couple of guys back, it was, well, we're going to win 13-2 as opposed to like 7-4. You know what I mean? And so it was, that was sort of like, they're like, hey, where'd you get these guys? They weren't on the team the last 2 weeks. Blah, 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 blah. Well, I mean, they were technically members of our team, but it was sort of like we were bringing in the ringers.
God, lots of topics. That's what Youth Sports Fan Forum is all about, from picking teams to ode to good coaches and not so good coaches, to the post game snacks, to picking up players and ringers for your club team, house league team. So many issues. That's what we hope to delve into here each and every Thursday on the TalkZone.com, 11 o'clock Central Time, the Youth Sports Fan Forum. We have a website all set up. Check it out, YSFanForum.com. Our producer, David Olson, the pride, if not the joy, of Lockport, Illinois. We're going to take a quick break. Back with our final segment. The phone lines are open if you'd like to join us. Any questions will be happily answered. Well, maybe not happily answered, but we'll answer.
We'll try to answer them with a smile, though.
888-463-6748. Quick break. Don't go anywhere.
The phone lines are open on the Youth Sports Fan Forum, 888-GO-FOR-IT. Once again, here's your host, the coach, John Cone, on TalkZone.com.
And welcome back. Final segment in our brand new venture here on the TalkZone.com. A show specifically geared to youth sports. And again, not so much the high school sports, but we're talking the age 5 and 6 year olds, kindergarten, pre-kindergarten, up to 8th grade, the games they play, the sports that they play, the teams, the coaches, all things involved, the officiating, the picking of the teams, all things involved in the wonderful world of youth sports, the good, the bad, and everything in between. That's what we're talking about here on the Youth Sports Fan Forum. John Cone, the coach, and Jordan Burnfield are your host here, 888-463-6748, the phone number if you want to check in, and again, our email at ysfanforum.com. So many stories, so many things involved, and it does. There's something about youth sports. Jordan, you don't have kids yet, but I will tell you, with our parental group, most of our group still has kids. It might be, we're kind of out of the 6, 7, 8, 9 year old games now. We've moved up a little bit, but even looking recently back into those years, when the adults would get together, not the kids. The kids talk about other things. When the game's over, they're done.
Right. They don't care anymore.
Pretty much.
Yeah.
But when the adults socialize,
they're talking about the games.
It's amazing. We're talking not solely, but a good gist of the conversation at the party, after school, carpool, wherever it is about, the games their kids play. Youth sport parents, probably negatively sue, right or wrong, are way too hooked in to the whole youth sport regime.
It's funny that you mentioned that, because I was just about to ask you, and I saw a story on HBO Sports recently, within the last few months, where they were talking about the parents of youth sport athletes and how insane.
Brian Gumbel show?
Yeah.
Very good,
and
by the way.
Did you ever see that story?
I haven't seen that one, but it's called Real Sports.
Yeah, yeah.
Excellent.
Yeah, it was fantastic. It's a great show. And they had this whole long piece about youth sport parents and how insane they can be.
Yep.
And sometimes the biggest problem is that these parents are vicariously living through their kids in these little sports. And they had one that really stood out to me. It was a father and a mother of a 5-year-old wrestler, competitive wrestler.
Competitive
wrestler.
At age 5?
At age 5. And they put them in the ring, and his father is screaming at him. He's an ex-wrestler, screaming at him, you got to pin him. You got to take him down. What did I tell you about that move? The kid comes off, and he's crying. He's crying because he didn't win. And his father, instead of consoling him or saying, you know what, it's okay, little buddy, you know, don't worry about it, it's not a big deal, he's training him and teaching him like he's an adult, and it was just awful. And it was, and
to be fair, that is the extreme.
It is the extreme. I'm not saying that this is the norm. This is totally the extreme. But my point is that sometimes this gets so out of proportion, it gets so blown out of the realm of sanity, that it's scary. It's scary when you see this stuff. And I think sometimes the parents get, I mean, I know that my parents have made a lot of friends through youth sports because the parents of the people that I played with are now their friends. Yep. They've been longtime friends.
It's one of the nice side benefits of youth sports.
It's a totally great thing. And so, you know, some of my parents' best friends are people that they met through that, which is great. Mm-hmm. But they take it very seriously. You're right. I mean, the parents seem to analyze the games a lot more. And I always found when I was younger that I found myself, if I was in a conversation with the parents after the game, that the conversation would always be about the game and about who played well and who didn't play well. And honestly, in high school, when I would get done with a game, I remember it was almost like I was being interviewed in a press conference or a talk show when I'd get home, or I would be out with friends and their parents, because just everybody, they were so into the game. They loved the game. They wanted to talk about the game. It was always about the game. And it was just, it's an interesting thing. It's an amazing attachment that the parents have to these games.
Is it similar to spectator sports at the professional level? What do they call it? It's not a reprieve, but it's a, there's a word I'm missing here, to take a break from the
distraction,
trials and tribulations of their regular life. There's a word that I'm missing right now, but I think the listeners, I think you, Jordan, get the idea of what I'm saying. And that's exactly what they're doing, I think, through youth sports.
Yeah. I mean,
probably too much so. Yeah. They should focus on other things, but again, right or wrong, it becomes a big part of their social lives, of their discussion points. You know, you were talking about making friends with family members of people that your kids play sports with.
Right.
Here's something I've done as a coach and done a lot of bad things. This might be one of the few good things. When I would pick teams, and first of all, I think coaches, fathers picking teams in Little League Baseball probably is the wrong thing anyways.
Yeah.
Too much time to get into that topic, but that's certainly one of the many topics we'll be delving with. I think we did actually in the first week of the show, best way to divide teams, pick teams, and I don't think it's dads drafting teams. That's what we did in our particular community, but something I almost unconsciously developed, and then because it worked so good year one, year two, I did in fifth grade, sixth grade, all the way up to Pony League, which my younger son is now playing, and that is I would purposely not pick kids that were friends of his or families that we knew. I would purposely or go out of my way to draft kids on the team of families in the community that we did not know. Now, I'm still picking, you know, good players. I'm trying to, you know, get a competitive team.
Right.
I'm not just picking, you know. So I was still aware of the ratings of the players. Okay. But I would go out of my way, and with my kid's approval, he kind of got into it after a year or two, to pick kids we didn't know. And it was a great way. It was a great way of getting to know other families in the community that you did not know, instead of picking all your friends
that you already had.
All your son's friends that you already knew. It was a great little sidelight to the sport that we were coaching.
Yeah, I'm sure that was. And, you know, I got to play on teams where at the first part of my youth baseball experience, I would play. You know, my dad was not coaching. He wasn't, you know, involved at all. And so whoever's dad picked me, you know, I just got put on their team. And it was a really good experience because I got to meet a lot of people, and I became
down to the last pick in the Deerfield draft. Who wants Burnfield?
Yeah.
Ah, damn.
Do we have to
take
him?
That last pick?
I know.
All
do
right.
we have to take
Now
it?
We got 12 guys. That's one more sub to get in the game.
Right. Funny enough is that I was one of the higher rated players. So that must say something about the lack of talent in Deerfield.
By the way, it is, trust me, it is painful to get that last kid added to your team.
Yeah.
I mean, you want to be nice and you want to be the altruistic coach. When it comes down to the end of the draft, everybody else has got 11 players and you're the one who's got to pick up the 12th.
And that kid just doesn't want to be there, doesn't like baseball, doesn't like that, whatever sport it is, doesn't have any interest in this. Parents are forcing him to do it, and he stinks. Mm-hmm. It's the worst. Yeah, I agree. But it's because it's not good for him, and it's not good for you. I mean, it's the thing is, sometimes you can make a kid who's not interested in it, and it's great for them. But a lot of times, I find that when parents force their kids to do this stuff, and they're bad at it, it's a source of failure for them. They don't want to do it. They know they're not good at it, and they feel like they're out of their element. You know mm-hmm. what I mean? And then the parents get too much into it and the whole thing, and it just, you know, it's mm-hmm. not good for anybody involved.
And even from a strategic standpoint, and those that have coached baseball know exactly what I'm talking about.
Left field?
It is huge when you have one team with 10 players and another team with 13. The team with 10 has a tremendous advantage because their good hitters are going to come up more often.
Right.
Even if that last pick, the last two picks, Jordan, are nice kids, but they're automatic outs every time.
Yeah.
If you've got 13 and they've got 10, big advantage.
Yeah.
Big advantage to the team with 10.
Yep.
I've known coaches, boy, I don't know, it's a tough thing to say, but that someone would go as far as like subtly encouraging their weaker players to maybe take a early summer vacation so that come tournament time, they've got their strongest 9 or 10.
See, that's bad to me.
Horrible.
That's horrible. I mean, I can't believe they do that. I mean, that's the thing. That's
start passing out brochures to those kids, vacation getaways.
And some of these things are just so outrageous. I mean, so outrageous.
Discounted airline tickets for a mid-July flight to, you know, California.
Yeah, just
right in the middle of the playoffs.
Here, little Johnny, why don't you go down to Chuck E. Cheese and stay there for a week, because when you come back, you can celebrate the championship with us.
Nathan, look what I've got. Some half-price airline tickets, but they're only good, surprisingly enough, from July 11th to July 14th.
It's amazing.
But, Coach, isn't that when the playoffs are? Well, it is, and we'd hate to miss you, Nathan, but I hate to have you pass up on a great vacation.
I mean, listen, you can only go to this place one time at this time. Awful.
Oh, goodness. Then you get your best player sometimes. That's happened to me, too, surprising you like a week or 2 weeks before the end of the season. Oh, by the way, you know, we're going to be gone blank to blank, which is right when the playoffs are.
Right. I mean, it's sort of like...
Hope you don't mind, Coach.
It's sort of like those adult softball players that go to their, like, 35 and over league with their $300 mitt and their batting gloves that are signed by A-Rod and their, you know, ridiculous, like, five bats that they take out of this huge, expensive bat bag, and they think that they're freaking Mark McGwire out there. Like, let's relax, okay? Like, the biggest thing for me with youth sports, and I think that my dad was good at this, and I think there were a lot of dads who are very good at this, is that as much as they want, as much as you want your kids to win, as much as you want them to be successful, as much as you want them to enjoy success in these things, let's relax, okay? It's youth sports. Mm-hmm. It's not the World Series. It's not the biggest deal. If you don't win, you don't win. And our team won a lot, so I can't really say that we didn't win, because we won a hell of a lot of games. But at the same time, it's, you know, let's not take this too seriously, because mm-hmm. in my opinion, the biggest problem in youth sports is that people way overdo it. They way overdo it.
888-463-6748. Maybe you're an administrator out there, coach out there. You might agree and or disagree with the young kid, Jordan Burnfield, the aged one. That's me, the coach, John Cone. Feel free to check in. Couple of minutes left. 888-463-6748. Or maybe you're a middle-aged, heading towards aged one, like our producer David, my bodyguard Olson, who's helping us out with the show. We appreciate that. Again, our email is ysfanforum.com. You kicked me with the 35 and over baseball players, because I used to play men's softball for many, many years.
And although you had that guy on your team, right?
Huh? Well, but yeah, you know, most of the men's softball guys, totally cool. The ones you have to watch out for are absolutely the guys that dress up to a T.
Oh yeah, they wear the uniform.
Yeah,
like they've got the stirrup socks.
Oh.
Like, get out of here, okay? There's a reason why you're playing in the old man league, because you stink. And if you were good, you wouldn't be in this league, and you'd be playing for the Cubs.
And even if you don't stink, you know, come out and play, have some fun. But yeah, the guys that get there like 30 minutes early, and dress up full fledged baseball regalia for your local Park District men's softball game, that, folks, is somebody you need to deeply, deeply worry about.
Yeah, and they're in their $27 fitted cap, and they're, you know, they got the sunglasses above it, and they've got eye black too, because if the sunglasses don't work, they also got the eye black as the backup, and it's just, get out
of
here.
Our softball team, post our high school, college years, we went through transgression. A lot of us, none of us were great athletes, but, you know, we all played sports maybe a little bit. In the high school days, maybe the college days, but the transgression would be in your early college years, before the season would start, we'd practice maybe 4 or 5 times before the season, maybe a couple times a week. Then after about 3, 4, 5 years, maybe twice a week. Then as you're hitting your late 20s, early 30s, you call up the guys before the first game, and maybe you get one Saturday practice. I'm building the transgression here. Then you're in your early 30s. Most of us are having kids now. You got little kids. Then no practices. I was usually the captain of the team. I'd call up the guys. Hey, our first game is June 15th. Let's show up a half an hour before for batting practice. Now you head into your mid-30s late. You can see where I'm going here.
Yeah.
Now it's, hey, our first game is June 15th. Can you get there 10 minutes before the game? And pretty soon in the tail end of your years, guys are strolling up like 2 minutes before the first game, meeting each other. You know, we haven't seen each other for a year. Hey, how you doing? Good to see you. All right, let's go play.
Yeah. I mean, it's the other thing is that, you know, when you play that, like, Turkey Day football game.
Oh, I love that.
With your buddies on Thanksgiving. Love it. But you have that one guy that got invited by one of your friends that you didn't know.
Even worse in football than softball.
And he's got like NFL equipment football gloves because he says he's a big time receiver.
Now you're talking a contact sport. Now you got to stay away. Yeah. In softball, it's funny.
Right.
In flag football or touch football, it's not funny. The guy's a complete idiot. He's going to hurt someone.
Right. He's got the NFL equipment gloves. It's like that scene in Wedding Crashers when Zach is just bombing down on Vince Vaughn when they're playing football in the backyard and he's just crushing them.
Yeah.
That's what it is. I mean, it's like, can you
stay away. That's the best advice I can give you. You come across that guy, stay away. Be afraid.
I'd handle the ball.
Very afraid. We got to get out of here. Thank you so much for joining us each and every Thursday, 11 o'clock Central Time on the Talk Zone. If you're listening, you enjoy the show. Spread the word to others. We're trying to make the show succeed. Jordan Bernfield, thank you so much for filling in today.
Thank you. And I really enjoyed reminiscing about youth sports. And I remind all of those 35 and over softball players with their full uniform or their football players with your NFL equipment gloves,
take it easy.
Aren't that good. That's why you're in these leagues.
Have a great day, everybody. Thanks for listening.